We thank you for listening to the weekly sermon of First United Methodist Church, Missouri City, Texas. We're a church that's making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. For more information about the church and its ministries, or how we can pray for you, visit us on the web at fumcmc.org. If you desire to make a quick contribution in support of our ministries, you can text to give. Simply text the amount you want to give to 281-369-4870 and follow the instructions. And now, as you listen, we hope that you find this podcast meaningful and transformational in your journey of faith.
So, my oldest child, Connor, is a graduate of UT. He's very smart. He's a second year. No. At least we didn't say University of Florida. We banned him from going to that school. And he's a second year student at University of Texas Medical School in Houston. And he's really smart. But when he was a kid, we were doing the nativity set. You know how you do that? Set it up with. So we were setting it up. And he was telling me each piece and who they were. So there, and we don't need sound effects, but we can have them if you want. There was Mary, and he recognized Mary, and he recognized the shepherds. What did they say? Yikes. And he recognized the angel and the baby Jesus. And then he asked me why the wise men were way over here, okay? And I had to explain to him that the wise men didn't get to the nativity scene until Jesus was 2 and he was in a house. So if your wise men are in your nativity scene, move them to another room to be biblically correct. And then you get to this one guy, and Connor, my brilliant oldest son, looks at me and says, "Dad, who is that guy?" And I had to explain to him it was Joseph. And that's when it hit me that Joseph is like a footnote to the story. We barely hear about him. I mean, it's so bad that I read on the internet, so you know it has to be true, that a mother called the church office the day of the pageant, the big Christmas pageant, and she was panicked because her son was sick and in bed with the fever and was unable to be part of the pageant, and he played the part of Joseph. Well, when the choir director heard that Joseph wasn't coming, he said, "Oh, well, we don't need him anyhow. He's not that important." That's what Joseph has become. So tonight, we're going to look at the Christmas story from the viewpoint of Joseph. I mean, Eddie read the Matthew version rather than the Luke version because it's shorter. Okay, maybe not. Eddie read the Matthew version because Matthew, unlike Luke, is written from the perspective of Joseph. Mary is there, but she has no lines, right? There's no angels. There's no shepherds. There's no manger. But it's such an important story. And I think the main reason why Matthew focused on Joseph, just a little bit of biblical knowledge, is because Matthew was writing to the Jewish Christian community. And he needed to tie Jesus to Joseph in the family tree so that Jesus would be in the lineage of King David. And so he chose to focus his Christmas story on Joseph. So that's why he chose that. But I'm thankful he did, because it gives us a whole nother way to look at it. There's a couple of things I need to teach you, if it's okay, from what Eddie read, that I need to teach you, things you might need to understand, because here's the problem. When you're engaged, where's Justin? If you pass inspection and we let you continue dating her, and one day you get engaged, it's a totally different thing than than Mary and Joseph. See, in Mary and Joseph's day, when they got engaged, it was like being married. If you were to break an engagement, you had to go through the whole divorce proceedings. And it was like marriage without the living together. And what was most important is the bride and the groom-to-be needed to stay pure until their wedding night. And this created a problem for Mary and Joseph. Well, for Joseph more than Mary. Because when Eddie read in verse 20 that Joseph was a righteous man, the word that Matthew used was a word tzedek. And tzedek is more than just being righteous. Someone who's described as tzedek is, he follows the letter of the law. He takes the Torah to the nth degree. He is above reproach, and that's exactly who Joseph was. And Joseph was the type of guy that moms would point to and say, I want you to grow up like him. Okay? That's who he was, and now he was in this quandary because what was he going to do with Mary? And what Matthew tells us, he made a decision that he was going to quietly divorce her. And then the most interesting part, well, one of the most interesting parts of the text is in verse 20, Matthew uses the word resolved. That's a great word, but it's not an accurate translation. The accurate translation would be considered. So after Joseph considered this, and why that's important, in the Greek, the consider, well, it's not like our consider. When in the Greek, the word that we use for consider, it means to be angry, to boil up, to be distraught. And I think that's important to understand. Because when you read the Matthew text, when you hear that Joseph is angry, when you hear that Joseph is distraught, all of a sudden the Christmas story isn't all nice and clean and neat. It's like real life. Because let's just be honest for a second. Although Luke's story is important, in Luke's story, it just seems so sweet. In Luke's story, you sing Away in the Manger. In Luke's story, we sing Silent Night, O Little Town of Bethlehem. But in Matthew's story, we have a young couple whose lives are turned upside down, who are faced with a situation, a life that was not going as they had hoped for or they had planned. And that's real life. Well, I don't know about you, but my life hasn't exactly worked out the way I had planned. I mean, there have been speed bumps and potholes and ditches along the way that threw me off course and one thing or another, and I realized that this was not all, my life did not always go the way I had wanted it to, the way I had hoped it to, the way I had planned it to from the time I was a little kid. Things are totally different. And when you read the Matthew story, you understand that Mary is not the princess bride and Joseph is not Prince Charming, but they are real life people whose lives are turned upside down and are not going the way they had planned. The way they had planned is a big wedding, a big community festival, a party, a celebration, and now they got to sneak off in the middle of the night to a little town of Bethlehem. I imagine we could go around the room, and anyone over the age of 7, maybe 6, because if you don't get a pony for Christmas, yeah, maybe 6, understands what Mary and Joseph were going through. Because most of us, I'm willing to say all of us, have had speed bumps, ditches, potholes in our lives, and what we had planned, what we had hoped for, what we had wanted, what we had wished, just didn't happen. You and I, we live in the real world. And we understand what it's like to have your hopes and your dreams extinguished. So maybe Matthew did tell the story so that David and Joseph could be linked together. But I'm glad he told the story because that's real life. It reminds me that in the most difficult, unexpected circumstances, God always shows up. And when he does, it's with the message of hope. Like Mary and Joseph, sometimes life just takes an unexpected turn. For some of you, a marriage that you thought was made in heaven ends up in divorce court, and you wonder what went wrong. For others, you love someone who's struggling with a mental illness or addiction. You can't figure out how to help them. Or maybe for you, it's your children or your grandchildren that didn't turn out exactly like you had hoped for. And they made a bad decision here and a bad decision there. Or maybe for you, it's some medical test that come back with a diagnosis you would hope you would never have to hear. Or sometimes it's that death of a loved one. When you stand beside a grave and you wonder, how am I even going to get up the next day? You see, that's real life. That's where God breaks in. That's the message of the Christmas story. It's about Silent Night. It's about angels singing. It's about, O little town of Bethlehem. It's about a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. But it is about real life. When life doesn't work the way we hoped, when we dreamed, when we wanted it, the Christmas message reminds us that God breaks in. And when we're afraid of the new direction he's taking us, we hear the same words that Joseph has. Do not be afraid. And we find hope. So I want you to hear this. If you're in the midst of a downturn, of something going just haywire in your life, I want you to hear. God breaks in because we have a God who is Emmanuel, God with us. Now here's the key, though, because there's this little verse, verse 25, that Matthew just kind of slips in there, and we miss it. Do we have that? Can you put that up, 25? Tom, I know I'm throwing you off, bud. And it's just that last part. And he, Joseph, named him Jesus. Anybody know what's important about that? Anybody? See, in first century, it is the man's job to name the baby, which is why when we do baptism, I'm always turned to the guy and say, what name is given this child? It's the man's job. But here, it's even more important than that, because when Joseph names a baby, you know what that means? It's like a legal adoption. For the first time, Joseph is publicly proclaiming, this is my child. I am with him. He is mine. And that's the key. To stand with Joseph and to see this baby, you and I need to be willing to stand up and proclaim, I am with him. Because he is abundant life. He is the great news. He brings great joy. He is our only hope. And that's why we're here tonight. And that's what we celebrate, and that's what we hold on to, and that's what this communion is about. It's about hope. It's about abundant life. It's about getting your life straight when everything else is falling apart. Because we come to a table, and we hear Jesus. On the night before he was to be killed, when his best friends were going to leave him and desert him and betray him, we hear Jesus take bread, and he gives thanks, And then he breaks it. And he says, take, eat, for this is my body, and it's broken for you. And I know what it's like to have things not turn out the way I hoped. Take and eat, and remember that I love you. And everyone in the room, according to the Gospels, took a piece of the bread. And then Jesus took a cup, and he said, he gave thanks, and he blessed it. And again, he offered it. And he said, this is no longer just fruit of the vine. This is now my blood poured out for you so that you will have hope, so that you will have peace. And he says, do not be afraid. Take and drink. And everyone in the room took their bread and they dipped it in the cup. And they received this gift. They didn't understand it then. But later, they would understand the good news of a great joy. That God is with us. And God is with you. And that's the gospel. And that's the message of Christmas. And it just doesn't get any better than that. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace both now and forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, go from this place. And may the peace and the love and the grace of God go with you. And may you know, may you remember, may you never forget that there is nothing you can do, nothing, that will ever make God love you less. Because when God sees us, he doesn't see the mistakes that we make. He simply says, wow, you're nothing but the best of the best of the best. And can you imagine what your day would be like if you lived it believing that? You'd have a heck of a Christmas. Take care. God bless. Be safe. Merry Christmas. We'll see you next week.